Hello again. You're listening to The Business, and you can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1857 15150, email thebusiness@rte.ie, or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. Now, we received a letter during the week in response to a point raised on the programme here before. I'll just read it for you so you know exactly where we're going. It says, "Dear George, I am so fed up that I decided to put pen to paper. All the time I'm hearing about a shortage of IT workers in Ireland, but let me tell you my story. I have a postgraduate certificate in information communications technology. I've been looking for work for the last 2 years. When the HR department see my skills and experiences, they are more than willing to bring me in for interview. However, my arrival on their doorstep has too frequently been received by indifference, impatience, or downright hostility. I can only conclude that the reason why the positivity and enthusiasm turns into a grimace is because of my age. I am 53. I have 10 years' experience working in IT, a very good attitude, and a real desire to work. I have to say that when I hear leaders of industry boast about taking people off the live register, I regard it with the same wry humour I usually reserve for banks claiming to have resolved the mortgage crisis. Employers, it seems, only want to hire a certain age group, and they're being disingenuous if they say otherwise." And it's signed Michael. So I'm wondering now, does Michael have a point? Is age discrimination rampant in the workplace in Ireland? We're joined by Breed O'Brien, Head of Policy at the Irish National Organisation for the Unemployed, Kieran McKinney of Age and Opportunity, and Mark Fielding, the Chief Executive of ISME. Kieran, ageism, you must, given the nature of your organisation, you must know a good bit about it. Is it rampant in the workplace?
Well, I think it's very, very pervasive. And sadly, in society, it's also quite subtle, so that I think it can really be affecting people in a way that they wouldn't necessarily automatically experience. It's different to racism or homophobia. It's less overt. But particularly in employment, it really, really does. It becomes much more obvious. And we have a workshop called AgeWise, where we invite people to explore ageism, where it comes from, and how we internalize it. And just recently, a really lovely young woman was taking part in the workshop. And then at the end of the 2.5 hours, she realized, she said it, that she had never, ever offered a job to anybody older than herself because she realized she didn't know how she would be able to manage somebody older than herself. Now, that was a fabulous learning for her. It was a quite profound learning. It made the workshop really prove its worth. And you know, and this is this lovely woman admitting this. And actually, our experience is that this is quite widespread, that many, many people think you are over, certainly over the hill in your 50s. And what we see now happening in Silicon Valley is that, in fact, you're being obsolete at about 30. And this isn't a good model for the rest of society. It's not like that we should be thinking that this is, oh, at last, younger people are getting their say. This is like the reverse of the old boys club, except that it's now the young boys club. And it doesn't serve society well at all.
You say Silicon Valley. Mark Zuckerberg was recently a significant quote, yeah, in relation to that. Basically, they really want young workers.
Absolutely.
They believe that they're better or they're sharper or they're smarter and, yeah, so on. That's what he said. Is there a fear that that kind of thing could take hold if you get it from business leaders like that?
I mean, I think it's crazy to think that innovation belongs just to younger people. We know that many, many older people also, you know, are innovators. 50% of entrepreneurs in Ireland at the moment are 45 plus, and you know, so it's nuts.
Maybe
to
out
think,
of necessity, because they can't get jobs.
There may well be that aspect, but also if you think about it, if you have years of experience, you're also going to know where the gaps are in the market. You're going to have the contacts. You perhaps might have greater financial stability to actually set something up as well, and you're going to know how to deliver something. And I think we really, you know, we really have to cherish that.
Mark Fielding, employers, are they ageist?
There is a problem there, I think, all right. I mean, if when you ask employers, and about 88% of them would say no, that they're not ageist, you know, there's a small number who would say, yeah, I would never employ somebody over a certain age or whatever. But when you hear them talking, and then the actuality of it is that in many cases they would be certainly a little bit of ageism creeping into it. And it's like what Kieran is saying there about employing somebody that's older than you. And again, at mid-career, and it's not so much about ageism as about the expectation, salary expectation of mid-career people, 35 to 45, their expectation of salary would be way above what, let's say, a 25 or a 28-year-old
is. But do employers ask ask about that, or do they assume that?
There's a mixture there, but yes, when you ask the question, I mean, if you're told that, well, my salary expectation is 55 grand or whatever, and the going rate for the job, and you can get graduates coming out of college, you know, at half that.
Hey, but it's only a negotiation. You know, if I say to you, how much do you want to sell that there'd be a big difference. Give me a big crazy price too, you know?
Yeah, but there'd be a big difference between, you know, the high and the low in this one, I'm afraid. So they will go on that. But, you know, in the main, when you talk, especially in small and medium businesses, we find that the older workers are much more reliable. You can certainly, you know, give them you give them opportunities, but on balance, they're more productive. They're certainly more reliable. They have better attendance records. They have better customer service.
But they find it harder to get the jobs.
They do find it harder to get in many cases. But then, if we look at the labour participation for females of 55 to 59, that went up by a massive 20% in the 10 years up to 2008. So that gives a lie to the fact that there would be ageism there. So, you know, in parts, it is a problem. But overall, I think, as I say, if you ask people there, there's a positive side as well, which came out there, I suppose, in the entrepreneurship. And you said you may be out of necessity. That 35 to 55 is the main area where you'll have new entrepreneurships starting.
Right,
and that is good as such. So there's a positive thing. But middle age have, as I say, they have their difficulties.
Breed O'Brien, what are you finding at the INOU in relation to ageism? Is it an issue, big issue that comes your way?
It is, yes. And in fact, it just, you know, the day you rang us about this programme, we had received an email from a woman who's only 46, who had been made redundant back in 2009, who found work in 2010 at the height of the recession. She's 20 years work experience in a multinational and is now finding it very difficult to find work. And what's really striking her is, you know, that being 5 years older, 6 years older, is making a huge difference. And now at 46, she's having to reconsider emigrating again, having been somebody who emigrated the last time in the last unemployment recession. Her husband had worked in construction, still has some work in construction, but they're facing very big difficulties around how to manage, how to pay the mortgage. And it was one thing that very much struck me, that a lot of families have emigrated in this recession. We had another email from a gentleman who's 49 looking for work in the hospitality sector, a sector that says they can't find workers and workers with the right experience. And he's finding it extremely difficult to find work and feels it's ageism he's running into. And he has a friend who works in the hospitality sector and who has been told not to hire anybody over 35. So there definitely is an issue around. And that's not the first set of emails we've had from people only in their 40s saying, who have a very strong sense, they will not work here again.
And one of my colleagues was talking to somebody at a recruitment agency, and this woman admitted that she would never send candidates over the age of 40 back to the company because she felt it would reflect badly on her agency.
But is that not illegal?
Of course it's illegal. Yes, but it is. This was somebody admitting to her practice. Of course it's illegal, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Or indeed, the letter that, you know, your person, you know, sent in to you, that it's good practice. I mean, most CVs now don't contain ages, but you can go back through somebody.
So you're saying to people, don't put your age
in
the CV.
Yes, and I never would. But like, you go back then through somebody's employment record and you can roughly gauge, or, you know, their educational record, you can roughly gauge the age range that you might be expecting.
Or turn up at the interview like Michael in her letter and then it turns to a disaster.
But you will have companies where older people won't fit into the, in the sense that if you
have... Why? Who decides that?
Yeah, the people themselves.
Yeah, but
in
maybe they're completely wrong.
Oh, look, I'm not agreeing with this, and forgive the pun. I mean, this isn't black and white. It's a grey area, as you would say. But you will find that it is important that you get the proper fit. And you will find that other employees, in some cases, will look and say, oh, my God, this older person of maybe 45 or 50 coming into the area. So you find that in some cases where the management will decide then to keep the age profile at a certain level.
But Mark, some corporate cultures would say that women don't fit in, or they certainly used to, and others would say, well, we don't want black people working here because they're not going to fit in. And all of us would say that's disgusting, and age is no different.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I'm just saying that these are the difficulties.
If the state is serious about addressing long-term unemployment...
Yes, what should they do?
..and doesn't want it to become a structural issue again, then ageism does have to be addressed. And it is illegal, you know, and so that, so I think therefore they need to remind people of the fact that it is illegal. And to, I think a campaign maybe is required just to encourage people to consider employing older workers and not to make presumptions around somebody's skill set might, you know, might now be out of date. Or
well, it might be, Breed, actually.
It might be. But then that's then where the state and its provision around education and training is so important.
Or the individual themselves.
Or the individual themselves,
the state,
yes.
But
yeah.
there is also then this like misguided idea that as you get older, you're less able to learn. I mean, that's obviously nuts as well. So that we,
is it
you
not?
Know.
I thought everybody assumed that, so it must be true. You
but,
know?
You know, and but George, I think that is the point that sometimes in employment, older workers aren't necessarily offered, for instance, options for advancement or options for further training. And that, of course, then compounds the issue because you may well then not have the most up-to-date skills of your younger colleagues.
Yeah, and that is a difficulty. Mm. And some of the figures that we came across recently when looking at what older people, and we were looking at post 55, while 86% of them were using mobile phones, only 48% of them were computer users, and only 40% were on the internet. Now, so many jobs are being advertised on the internet that it excludes those. So I take Breed's point that there needs to be a campaign for people to actually to upskill the older generation, because we are losing a vast and a massive resource there. And many, many small businesses would with open arms take in older people in that respect. But there is this issue about, you know, as you say, people at that age are slower to learn, so therefore we get a young graduate. I would be of the opposite. You should see some of the people that we would see as such, you know, when you compare them with a 50-year-old or a 55-year-old.
And young people don't necessarily stay with an employer either.
Well, I think that's also another, like, falsity that you think you'll take on somebody younger and you'll have them for 20 years. There's no reason to think that at all. And I think the other thing is that we risk losing corporate memory. And that, you know, and I think particularly like in smaller businesses, you'll know that there's somebody there who knows all of the customers by name, will bring a whole range of soft skills that make that whole
experience valuable.
Absolutely.
And people to remember that. Well, the good news is that lots of people have been getting in touch with us already since we started here, now offering to speak to Michael, whose letter we read out about work. So the very best luck to him, and hopefully something good will come out of that. And we better leave it there now. So Breed O'Brien, Ciarán McKinney and Mark Feeling, thank you all very much indeed.
Thank you, George.